against the wind.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM, it is The Big Picture. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. That's 855-915-WMFO. Punch that into your phone. Give us a call. We love to hear from our listeners. Coming up later tonight, we're going to start getting you caught up on the ballot questions because it is that time once again, my friends. Voting season is upon us. So we're going to take a look at what's on the ballot in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and we're also going to be talking about things Hillary Clinton said that are a boon, not for her party. Chase Mullane, hi there.
Word
how
up.
How you doing?
Oh, fantastic.
Chase Mullane of the Broken Ribs, Chase Mullane.
Yes, I have broken ribs.
Just one or several?
Two.
Two broken ribs.
Uh-huh. And, well, what's funny is before we walked in, Derek accused me of some kind of flagrant reason for them being broken, but it was just me doing my job.
No, you said that you broke your ribs innocently, and I made the point there's no way to do that, and that I have never broken a rib in my life.
Well, I shouldn't have said innocently.
I've broken a lot of stuff,
I shouldn't
but
have
never
said
a rib.
Innocently. I should have said like valiantly.
Yeah, it's, I think that's fair.
Professionally, let's put it that way. I was at my restaurant caring for those of us. Or, I'm sorry, for those of you listening who work in restaurants, you know what those giant glass racks that we clean glasses look like. I was carrying 25 full-size pint glasses. So they're like 20, like that rack is like 20, 30 pounds. And a couple drunk bachelorettes from a rehearsal dinner came around the corner giggling. And it is, you know, when you work in a restaurant, you're supposed to get out of customers' way. And I was in a rush because we were slammed. So in the like 5 miles per hour I was walking, I slammed, like I moved to the side, slammed the dish rack into a wall, which then slammed into my ribs.
Right. So you just kind of walked into it at speed.
Yeah, like at speed. I like full force ran into a wall. And then like, and it's funny because I think I was just high on adrenaline that like I didn't even, sorry guys, breathing's hard right now. I didn't even realize how bad it was at the time. I just, like, a few customers saw it happen. And they were like, are you okay? And I was like, you know, I just might be a bit more Adam than Eve now. It's not a huge deal.
Yeah.
The next morning, I woke up just in utter pain. So, oh, yeah, fun fact, guys, don't break your ribs. There's literally nothing you can do for it but brace it and wait.
Yeah.
Like, there's no cast they can put around your entire torso.
No.
I've been using medical tape to just, like, tape very strategically around it and then wrapping myself in an ACE bandage. I love the doctor I spoke to. Derek, I know you're a dude, but you may still have seen this movie. Have you ever seen Now and Then? It's the, like, throwback to the 70s where they come back to the 90s, like, when all of them meet up again.
No.
It's a chick flick.
Okay,
but I bet Molly's seen it. Molly, text Eric right now if you've seen it, because I'm sure you have. But there's a character who's a tomboy who hates that her boobs are coming in. And so she, like, literally uses medical tape to press them down and binds them so you can't tell she has boobs. And the doctor was probably, like, maybe 5 years my senior, which is about my sister's age, who introduced me to that movie. And she's like, I might be taking a long shot here, but have you ever seen Now and Then? I was like, yeah. She's like, you know the thing Roberta does to bind her boobs? You're going to want to do that just, like, 4 inches lower.
Mm.
And I was like, that is the best analogy a medical professional has ever given
now,
to me.
Because
it really works. Oh, God, laughing hurts.
Yeah, don't laugh. I will say, you've got that sort of German Fraulein thing going now because stuff is spilling out over the top of the bandages.
Oh, thanks. I'm so glad that I could make my boobs look even better than they usually do for me,
Derek. It enhances you in a certain way, is what I'm saying. So, if there is a silver, I need to stop making you laugh. That's cool.
You really do. Well, it's funny. I get last night, I actually got asked out at my restaurant. That's the first time that's ever happened to me. A guy left me his phone number on the receipt and said, you know, I'd love to take you out sometime. Like, please call me. And I was like, okay. And I was like, is it my personality or is it because my boobs look even bigger than they usually do? You know what? I don't want to know the answer. I'm going to go out with that 22-year-old.
Can't argue with that.
But yeah, so in conclusion, don't get out of the way of drunk people. It leads to nothing good.
No ribs, no problem. It's the big picture. We do it either way.
And some people remove their ribs to appear skinnier.
Yeah, I know.
So maybe I should just have these bad boys taken out.
No, those are crazy people. You don't want to do that. It is WMFO Medford. It is The Big Picture. And as we do every week at this time, did you hear everything that's going on in the news? We start with what's happening locally. Shea Spillane, what do you got for me?
For me, I'm going to start out this actually.
By the way, before I want to set this up, and I want to give this its due, because we've done professional radio, Shea Spillane and I. We used to be on TKK.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. And one of the things that, you know, people ask about when you're broadcasting and when you do what you do is like, how much time do you put into it? How much do you rehearse? How much do you... And the answer is there is a lot of preparation that goes into the show.
Oh, absolutely.
Normally, on any other radio show that you would listen to, like, everything is planned out ahead of time, down to the minute, and they know what's going to happen. We don't do that. This segment is totally like, boom, here's a topic off the cuff. Shea doesn't know what I'm going to ask her about. I don't know what Shea's going to ask me about. We're going to find out how well-informed we and the listening audience are big stories of the past
week. Well, and that's part of the fun of radio, and to be honest, comedy as well, is that we prepare so much. Like, people ask me, how did you come up with that joke so quick? I'm like, because I wrote it 8 months ago.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, the thing that I said after that, organically, that was me just then. And that's the beauty of this segment, is that we mostly are just shooting off the cuff, kids.
We're riffing the news, kids. Stick around. All right, what do you got?
For me, this actually hits pretty close to, literally and figuratively, close to home.
Does it involve ribs?
In local, shut up. I shouldn't have said hit. in local news, I'm going with Camp Wing.
Camp Wing.
Camp Wing in Duxbury, if that helps you.
Camp... Okay.
I mean, it probably doesn't.
Because at the second there, I thought you had a speech impediment. Camp Wing in Duxbury. The only thing I can think of that's camp related is that swim coach or that diving coach that got arrested for allegedly touching girls at his last job.
No, but let's talk about that later.
No, I mean, that's Camp Wing in Duxbury. They find a dead body out there?
Almost.
Okay.
Well, so Camp Wing is a normal summer camp that also does kind of like youth outreach type stuff.
Okay.
You know, like after school programs,
sure,
and things.
Outward Bound.
And the reason I said this hits close to home is we went there for our seventh grade class trip from Central Middle School in Quincy. But a 12-year-old girl was dangling 30 feet in the air by her ankles at Camp Wing on Monday. She was hanging off the high-angle ropes confidence course which for those of you who aren't
familiar,
it's like it's kind of like a tightrope equipped for children. Like it, I did it so many times at this camp and at others. Like they're, you know, it's always very well monitored and all of that. But the crews who responded to the scene were quickly able to lower her to the ground. She was brought to South Shore Hospital as a precaution, but she was like pretty much fine. The people at Plymouth South Middle School posted on Facebook Monday saying that she did go to school there and that their statement was officially, one of our students attending the Camp Wing field trip experienced difficulty with the safety equipment being used for the ropes course. As a result, the student became entangled in the ropes and needed assistance from camp counselors and the Duxbury Fire and Police Departments to reach the ground safely.
Yikes.
Yeah.
This is supposed to inspire confidence.
I'm guessing
her confidence isn't up
after
this. That's
the biggest irony of this. Is I remember the first time I did, like, I started, because I went to a YMCA camp growing up. Camp Burgess Hayward, get it? Burgess is dudes, Hayward's girls, but I like Burgess better because they have the ropes course. Mm. But I remember I did the low ropes course my first year there, which is basically training you to do the high ropes course. But the high ropes, that was the first time I ever ziplined. And it's usually really well regulated, but it does stand to reason that I mean, you have to wonder, is this the part of the girl not listening to the instructions properly, or is it that the camp staff was just kind of being lax-a-dozy because it wasn't their, you know, it's the end of the season.
Yep.
It's.
Can I just point out that in our modern society, with everything that we've built, there is no need to travel by rope anymore. We don't have to do that.
But
you're choosing to do that, I can't help you.
But see, by that logic, it's the same as, oh, well, I don't need to know how to get places anywhere because I have GPS. What if cell towers get knocked down? It's the same sort of logic. Where,
then,
like,
you're going to die.
Wouldn't you be so happy if all of a sudden the only way we had to travel from point A to point B was a series of ropes? Yeah. And you were like, wait, I've already been trained to do this when I was 11.
I don't think there is a situation that is going to occur in our modern world where rope bridges are necessary to get us from point A to point B. I could be wrong about this.
Think being the operative word.
I could be wrong about this, but I'm pretty sure we've got other ways of getting around. That's not fun. National Grid.
Woburn.
Yeah.
So apparently this is just spreading everywhere.
Yeah. Can I tell you? I was in Woburn on Monday watching A Star Is Born at the Woburn Theater, and we kept hearing this helicopter. And I'm like, is that coming from the next theater? Is that, what is this helicopter? Why do I keep hearing this helicopter? Maybe there's a bad accident outside. We get outside, the helicopter's gone. I'm like, what was up with the helicopter? It turns out they overpressurized a gas line in Woburn, which is what caused all those houses in the Merrimack Valley to blow up. So National Grid has been put on notice by the Massachusetts Department of Public Utilities to cease non-essential work. As a result of this, they had to turn off gas to 300 homes. And apparently, to hear National Grid tell it, this is the sort of routine thing that happens all the time. But because everybody is in maximum freakout mode, because a big chunk of Andover and Lawrence blew up a couple of weeks ago, they're making a mountain out of a molehill. At the same time, the steelworkers have been locked out at National Grid due to a contract dispute. So no one's really sure who's working on the gas lines. It may be technicians. It may be National Grid managers. Nobody really knows. So the Commonwealth is just like, you stop with that gas work over there. We've had enough of this for 1 year. We've had enough of this for a decade. We've had enough of this for the rest of the century. If you don't have the normal people messing around with the gas lines, nobody gets to mess around with the gas lines except, in cases of emergency, they can still go out and fix the gas lines, but they're required to have a state inspector on site while they do that. So.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah.
So in national news, I'm going to say, ooh, which one do I like better? I'm going to say Georgia racial profiling.
Georgia racial profiling. Everything is going on in the world right now, and you're going to ask me about racial profiling in Georgia.
This is an important one. This is like, this is a very good, it's become a shining example of an issue that we've had in our country for a long time.
I'm going to guess they got a lot of it going on down there.
Yeah, but this was a biggie.
God, racial profiling in Georgia. Don't recall reading anything about that. Do they tell the white people to flee the hurricane and not the black people?
Oh, absolutely. No. Yeah. Well, no. No, there was a Georgia woman who's been accused of racial profiling after this story. I really wanted to include
it. Is this the white couple with the black nanny?
Yes.
Okay. That, I didn't really connect it that way, but this is the white couple with the black nanny.
It felt weird to say white couple with black nanny on the radio as my clue.
But the neighbor saw the black nanny with the white baby and was like, wait. There's something wrong here. Where'd you get that white child and call the police?
Yeah, so the man's name is Corey Lewis. He actually runs a local community center in the town of, such a crazy story, in the town of Marietta, Georgia. He said he first noticed the woman staring at him as he returned to his car after taking the kids that he nannies to Subway. The woman then drove up alongside the car to ask if the brother and sister were okay, and he looked at her very reasonably, being like, why wouldn't they be okay? His answer did not satisfy her, and she expressed concern for the children's safety. He said after driving off, she caught up to them and then asked to speak to the eldest child, which is the daughter, Addison. And he said no, because obviously she's a stranger. You can't talk to, I believe she's 10. The lady got very upset and said, okay, I'm going to take your license plate number. The woman then followed as he drove them home, where he was met by police. And like I said, he runs a local community group, that's the craziest part of it. This is a super nice guy who's just trying to make a living.
Yeah.
Caring for these two cute kids who obviously love him. He took them to Subway. I mean, if my babysitter took away my Halloween candy because I had too much.
Hang on a second. He took them to Subway, throw them in jail. You can't.
It's Georgia. Subway's pretty nice there.
No, you can't have the kids eating that. That's
comparatively.
That's grossly irresponsible, Shay Spillane.
Come on. Shut up. But the woman hasn't been identified, and the police in that county cannot immediately be reached for comment, obviously. But he actually, luckily, recorded parts of what was happening during a series of Facebook Lives, and obviously it went viral. But the parents, my favorite part of this is the parents of the two children, who, like I said, is a girl named Addison, who is 10, and a boy named Nicholas, who is 6, said literally they had to, like, wrap their heads around what happened. When they arrived home, seeing that the cops were at their house, they were like, what is going on? And the cops were very clearly embarrassed. The police were very embarrassed.
Yeah.
And I love, this is my, like, as much as the story is really disturbing in terms of that woman, I love how quick to, how quickly his employers came to defend him. Because the mother, whose name is Dana Mango, not flipped out at the police officer, but basically gave him a stern talking to, saying, are you telling me that because a woman saw a young African-American male with two white kids, that they were pulled over by police just based on that?
Yeah.
And the police officer said, yes, ma'am, I'm sorry, but that appears to be what happened.
Can we start chucking these women in jail who are reporting black people for doing nothing but their jobs or being where they're supposed to be? Can we start chucking those people in jail?
Well, and honestly,
can we make a law that says you're too stupid to be walking around among us?
Yeah, this should literally be, I mean, it is illegal, but this should be enforced as illegal, because that's what I loved, that this woman came to his side also saying, like, this isn't, it doesn't make sense in light of what happened. Like, they weren't crying, they weren't distressed, they weren't trying to, like, get someone's attention for help.
They're probably more upset about the crazy lady that's following the car than anything else.
Probably what ruined their day was that.
Yeah.
And she said, this was not concern for my children. This was racial profiling. If it was concern for my children, she would have left them happy eating their subs alone.
Yeah.
Like it, and I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I want to, Dana Mango is her name. I would not be even a little bit surprised if she starts getting involved in the activist movement to stop this sort of behavior.
Yeah, this is stupid.
Or whichever activist this movement, because there's, at this point, there's so many.
This is commercial grade stupid. Mind your own goddamn business is basically what I'm going to say. Mind your own damn business. Stop trying to police the world. That's part of the problem that we have in this country right now, is too many self-righteous people walking around going, that doesn't look right to me. And you know what this is? This is a byproduct of the see something, say something culture that was instituted after 9/11. Now, as a reminder to everyone listening, that only affects Muslims. Only Muslims. Not other Americans. I'm kidding. That's not what that's about either. But this is what the government does. They come out and they do this whole see something, say something movement, right? And they put the signs up all over the place. And they're like, it's up to you to keep America safe. And so now every bigot and every idiot who's walking around out there who sees something they don't like is calling the police. At least in this case, stupid asked the guy what was going on. But stupid,
yeah.
But stupid didn't take his answers. And so stupid then follows the car. And she's like, no, those calm children with that man are clearly lying to me. Give me a break.
It's gotten to the point where, like, it's so hard, too, because I try so hard to have it just be, not obviously we recognize, you're black, I'm white, you're Asian, I'm white, you're this, I'm white. But I try so hard to just make it be a non-issue, you know? Like, to just try to be like, are you a good person or a bad person? That should be all it's about. I feel like I'm constantly apologizing for other white people's behavior.
Yeah, well...
Like, and unfortunately, and not unfoundedly, a lot of times it just turns into, well, white people all think that we're dangerous. White people all think that we're, you know? And it's behavior like this that makes that... possible.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's just, as I said, it's commercial grade stupid. And really, we ought to find out who this woman is and splash her photo around and let people know that she is desperately uneducated in the hope that maybe someone will pull her aside and explain things to her and explain that it is the 21st century and black people walk among us and are our friends and our neighbors and our coworkers and our nannies and everything else. I mean, Prestige Limousine.
Prestige Limousine. Oh, God, I know I read something about that. Come on, Che. Come on, make Derek look stupid. Look at your notes. Make Derek look stupid. Oh, my God, this is going to drive me crazy. I know there was... Oh! Sorry, I just clapped from realization.
Yeah, don't clap for this one.
Sorry. That wasn't... It was clapping in me remembering, not in the situation. There was a somebody has now been charged in an accident with Prestige Limousine.
I remember
reading about this.
The operator of Prestige Limousine was arrested today. I forget his name, but the story out of upstate New York, Saturday night, 20 people were on their way to a birthday party. Their party bus broke down, so they called Prestige Limousine, who sent over a guy who did not have a limousine license, driving a limousine that had recently failed state inspection and had been ordered off the road. He was coming down a hill in the limousine, careened across a highway, hit an SUV, and 20 people, including the driver, were killed. It is the deadliest vehicle accident in the United States since 2005.
Jesus.
Yeah. 18 people in the limo were killed.
18 people.
Two people
in the limo
in the parking lot who were hit by the SUV that was struck were killed. So, and this is just a case of you got somebody running a rogue business, paying zero attention to safety, paying zero attention to the law or requirements. And the operator of the business is going to go to jail for this. The owner of the business is back in Pakistan visiting family or whatever, probably will not set foot in the United States again if he's smart, because they're going to be looking for him too.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about this, I looked into this, and normally when you have that many people killed in a vehicle accident, it's either a bus, sliding under a truck. We had the one with the hockey players up in Canada.
I remember that.
This past winter, or the vehicle bursts into flames. This vehicle did not burst into flames.
Yeah, like literally, this was all negligence.
So I can't imagine how these people died, or how fast that vehicle was going when it came down the hill, or any of what happened here.
But it was slow and terrible.
Yeah, but it, well.
Well, and especially on
I've got to imagine 20 people die in an accident like this. It's probably pretty quick. It's probably pretty quick because they crash in the parking lot of a popular restaurant, and people were out trying to help them immediately. And first responders were on the scene in a matter of minutes. So it's not like they were stuck in the middle of nowhere. You know, this is whatever happened in this accident, and they haven't released any details of it, whatever happened in this accident was pretty freaking horrifying. And I am not a fan of stretch limos. This was a converted Ford Explorer.
Yeah.
I am particularly not a fan of the SUV stretch limo. SUVs are generally death traps as it is if they get into a serious accident. So I can only imagine how a, you know, shoddily maintained SUV stretch limo is going to perform. So think about that the next time you think about renting a limo or a party bus, for that matter. The party bus broke down.
Well, because you have to think about the fact, too, that, and not, I mean, I've had, in the times I've been in limos, unfortunately, it's usually for funerals. But not to say that there aren't some very competent limo drivers out there, but at the same time, you have to think, like, they don't need that many qualifications to do this. Thus, you have to call into question. It's like when you go to the carnival and you're like, yeah, that Ferris wheel looks fun, but there's someone who didn't even need a high school diploma that's putting it up and breaking it down once a week.
In the case of that Ferris wheel, the state inspector has been by to look at it, and more than likely a town inspector has been by to look at it. And when you consider that those machines are in operation about 6 months out of the year, the safety record in the United States is actually exceptional. When something goes wrong, it goes catastrophically wrong, and you don't want to be on the receiving end of that. But you are probably safer getting on a carnival ride. But what you say is true. You know, it's not like we've got a team of engineers that come in and carefully assemble the Ferris wheel every time. We got guys who put it up and take it down, and put it up and take it down, and put it up and take it down. And, oh, I forgot to put a nut on that bolt, or whatever. So things can go wrong. But 20 people, 18 people dying in a limo, that's insane.
God, my heart goes out to their families, especially when, I mean, limos, other than funerals, are always, this is such a happy occasion.
Yeah.
Let's see. In world news, I'm going to say Interpol.
The chief of Interpol, I forget his name, but he's Chinese.
Meng Hongwei.
Meng Hongwei. He's Chinese, flew to China to visit family, and has not been seen or heard since.
Oh, no. Well, we know this, but do you know the thing that broke today?
No. Did he tweet? Did they find him?
He did not, but his wife, who is named Grace Meng, actually did her first one-on-one interview since her husband disappeared. And she basically told the Associated... She exclusively wanted to speak to the Associated Press, which I think is the right move.
Yeah, good organization. Reuters isn't bad, but we like the AP.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's better than being like, hey, New York Post, you want to chat?
Oh, people. Yeah, I'll take it.
But she actually revealed that she received a threatening phone call 1 week after she last had contact with her husband. She said that she had just put her sons to bed when a man called and said, you listen, but you don't speak. We come in two work teams. Two work teams just for you. Yeah. Pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
The call prompted law enforcement in France, where Interpol is headquartered and where she and her family were staying, to place them under police protection. Meng Hongwei last had contact with his wife on September 25th via text, where he sent her an image of a knife, followed by a message that read, "Wait for my call." The Chinese president has led a strict anti-corruption crackdown, jailing more than 1.5 million Communist Party officials in the last 5 years. And Chinese Ministry of Public Security said on Monday that Meng Hongwei was being investigated for, quote unquote, willfulness and for bringing trouble upon himself, but did not give any information about his whereabouts.
Yeah. Which means he's still alive.
Yes, probably in great condition.
That's the one good thing. This is the interesting thing, because they just picked up Fei Bingbing a couple of weeks ago. She had been lying to the Chinese about her taxes, and she actually owed millions of dollars in back taxes. She's an actress. She's appeared in American movies, including some of the recent X-Men films. And the Chinese grab people. I would imagine a Chinese prison is not a happy place to be. I'd imagine you're not getting a lot of amenities in the Chinese prison, but I don't think they're beating and torturing people for tax evasion. I don't know. There's been a lot of this lately where people will disappear for a couple of months, and then all of a sudden they reappear. They issue a very apologetic statement, basically saying, I'm sorry, I've offended the party, I've offended the people, I've offended China, we are great because we are communist. And they get a few million bucks out of whoever it is, and then they go back to their normal lives. So it seems to be sort of a re-education camp that they're running. Not a camp that most of us would want to attend.
No.
But it takes some cojones to grab the head of Interpol. I mean, this isn't some average dude. You know, this isn't an entertainer. This isn't a local businessman. This is the head of an international policing agency that you have grabbed and disappeared. And while I think the rest of the world looks at that and says, well, that's just China being China, I would imagine that this one kind of blows up for them in unpleasant ways internationally, because this is a guy that law enforcement all over the world knows, and certainly law enforcement in Europe knows, and I can't imagine Europe's too happy about this. But who's going to go pick a fight with China?
That's a fair point. Well, because that's the thing, is that even, I mean, his wife even said that she said the man that called her spoke in Chinese and identified himself as someone who used to work for her husband, thereby suggesting he used to work for the Chinese government, because he worked as China's vice president of public security while leading Interpol. And she said she knew. That's what's crazy is, I mean, my heart, like, I want to high five this woman, because she said, like, she knows that speaking out might place her in great danger given China's reputation, but that it was worth it to help other families that this might be happening to, because it's very akin to, I'm sure everyone, well, not everyone, but anyone who listens to our show has been watching the news the past few days, and it's akin to, in my opinion, what's happening with our government right now, is that they can't control us like this. It's unfair.
Well, China, they can.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She's in France. She's not even, and I mean, probably purposefully so, not even under Chinese government, the Chinese government's regime right now.
They can go get her if they want to.
They can, but that's my point, is that my favorite, for those of us, those of you who have been listening to us for a long time, my favorite movie is V for Vendetta. And one of the greatest lines from that movie, which I believe he's quoting someone historical, I can't think of who it is
Guy
right
Fawkes,
now.
Guy Fawkes, probably.
But he says, a people should not fear their government. A government should fear their people. Is that Guy Fawkes? I think it is.
I think it is Guy Fawkes, yeah.
But that should be the way it is. And the fact that she stood up, she could have said nothing and she would probably be safe. But she, even if it ends up endangering herself and her children, decided, one of my favorite colloquial quotes is the juice worth the squeeze?
Well,
and she decided that this juice was worth the squeeze.
Yeah, well, she wants her husband back. And, you know, as much as there is a risk to her, this also puts the Chinese government over a barrel. Because if they now turn around and kill this guy, or this guy is never heard from again, questions will be raised. And this was a story that got a little bit of traction about a week after he disappeared. I'd certainly heard about it, but it was sort of like, oh, it's China being China again. But now it's sort of like, well, wait a minute. Why are they allowed to do this? And it's their own internal politics. They can do whatever they want. Some interesting stuff going on over in China right now, which we've not had a chance to get to, that we will hopefully talk about at some point in the future. But this is one of those things, you know, where it's like, you offend the party, you're just going to go away for a while.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it's pleasant, but I don't think it's as bad as it could be.
I mean, it's better than a firing squad, yeah. I would say.
Yeah, they don't seem to be killing people, but they are disappearing people for a while. Jamal Khashoggi.
That is the journalist.
Similar vein, yeah.
I was going to say, I think we both have the same ideas for, why wasn't this terrifying? So he has been missing. He was seen in Turkey, in Istanbul, going into the Saudi Arabian consulate and was never seen coming out. And the Turkish government is pretty sure that they killed him in there.
Well, there are competing theories here.
But it only strengthens the hate between these two.
Yeah, there are competing
countries.
Theories here. And according to the Washington Post, U.S. intelligence knew that the Saudis were going to grab Khashoggi, which is not a good look for the United States. But, you know, it's one of those things that we'll look at and be like, he's overseas, it's not our problem, we're not going to get involved. According to the Saudis, they arrested him. Khashoggi is a Saudi Arabian journalist who has been writing very critical things about the Saudi Arabian government in the Washington Post, among other places. So he goes in to the Saudi embassy in Istanbul. He's trying to finalize a divorce, and they grabbed him. And according to the Saudis, they put him in a black van and flew him back to Riyadh, where he is currently being held. According to the Turks, they murdered him, chopped him into small pieces, and smuggled him out of the country in diplomatic pouches, which cannot be opened or investigated by foreign sources. These are about the size of a small briefcase. These diplomatic pouches. You may have seen them. Bank pouches are a little bit smaller. Mail pouches, the zippered mail pouches are around the same size. Turkey also put forward today a group of 15 photographs of people that they claim are part of a Saudi Arabian hit squad that flew in to Turkey that day and flew out that night, allegedly with pieces of Mr. Khashoggi in their diplomatic bags. One of these stories is not true. And the story that the Turks are putting out there strikes me as being the more far-fetched of the two. Okay? If you want to get rid of a body, you don't have to cut it into little pieces and move it out of the country in diplomatic bags. You don't need 15 people to come in and take down one journalist under any circumstances. It's like, that's a three-man job. Maybe it's a five-man job if you want to have overwhelming numbers, but you don't need 15 people to murder one guy. So I don't know what the story is with Khashoggi. No one has seen Khashoggi. No one has heard from Khashoggi. They may have taken him to Saudi Arabia and killed him. Nobody knows. President Trump said late today that he wants answers from the Saudi government, and this has the potential of derailing some of the warmth. I won't say all of it, but certainly some of the warmth between Saudi Arabia and the United States. Saudi Arabia...
I never thought I'd hear the phrase warmth between Saudi Arabia.
Well, I mean, keep in mind, the Bushes and the Sauds go way, way back. You know, and they've been in cahoots with each other for a very long time. the relationship between Saudi Arabia and the United States is best described as the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And because we both have an interest in keeping Iran in a corner, we are allies. And Saudi Arabia is now trying to see clearly how far it can push that thing. And this will not be received well in Washington. The fact that Washington knew about this will not be received well in Washington. This is more ammunition for CNN and all of the other Trump haters to come out and talk about how our administration hates the press. They will find a way to blame Donald Trump for Khashoggi's murder, even though he has nothing to do with it. But there we are. Allies behaving badly.
Oh my God, that sounds like a new reality, really, Shay? Maybe my voice is broken along with my ribs. It sounds like a new reality show. Dictators behaving badly. Oh, it's my least favorite one, isn't it? Actually, this week it's not. Because it makes me so happy. Because it's the only sport I care about.
Yeah, we know the Red Sox won last night. All right, that's...
What the heck?
What?
Bury the lead, dude.
What? Okay. Was there something more exciting that happened last night than the Red Sox won?
No. All right. Well, since you already just busted that, I'll do my second half of my second one, which is also about the Red Sox. Yankee beer can.
That I don't know about.
A Yankees fan threw a beer can towards Red Sox closer Craig Kimbrel last night, just as he was heading out of the bullpen towards the field. If you watch the footage, you can see, based on how the thing lands, that it appears to be close to full, which actually could have, like, injured him.
How do you have a beer can in the stadium?
Are you kidding? They sell them in the bleachers. That's where they sell beer cans instead of...
Yeah, but they're not supposed to leave them, but they're supposed to open them and dump them into a cup and then hand them to you.
No, not to the, what do you call it? Not to the... What am I thinking of? Not in the bleachers. In the bleachers, you specifically so that people can't pour beer on each other as easily. I was just in the bleachers. Wow. I know this.
Yeah, no, I don't doubt it, but you could never get a beer in a can here in Boston. Like, you might get a plastic bottle of beer, but you'd never get beer in a can at a stadium.
Plastic bottle of beer on the wall. Plastic bottle of beer.
For exactly that reason.
Well, that's... No, well, I was going to say, it's like a new... It's a new practice. I hadn't been to Fenway all season. And as you know, I went with my family, not last weekend, but the weekend before. And it is, I was out in the bleachers being like, they used to not even let us buy beer here because of the people that sit in the bleachers.
Hmm. Was said fan ejected?
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, and ironically, I ended up looking into it after that, and this is, in the last decade, the 13th time that a Yankees fan has thrown a beer at a Red Sox player.
Wow. We need shielding by the bullpen. Bad Yankee fans. Drew Brees.
If I had a nickel. Drew Brees, I know who he is.
Do you know what he did?
Nope.
Drew Brees, as of Monday, was it Monday? Yeah, it was Monday. Became the NFL's all-time leading passer with a 62-yard throw to Tre'Quan Smith. He has 72,103 yards passing, beating out Peyton Manning's 71,940 yards passing. And Drew Brees has 11 games to go and maybe another season to build on that. So... Not only has he set the record, but he's going to take the record into a whole...
I was going to say, he's going to bring it into the stratosphere.
Into a whole different place. Next Sunday, he is very likely to join Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, and the newest member, Tom Brady, in the 500 touchdown club.
Oh.
Brady got his 500th touchdown.
Can we high-five for Drew Brees across... Yeah, we're high-fiving across the soundboard.
And there's if you get a chance to see it, Drew Brees is an amazing human being, in addition to being a professional football player and one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. There is a beautiful clip of him talking to his sons, like he's talking to his family on the sideline, And his sons are all like, you know, 4, 5, 7 years old. And he's looking at them and he's like, you can do anything you set your mind to. That's what he said to him. And it's like, it's just this beautiful little moment of him with his family. And it's like, oh my God, I love this freaking guy. Yeah.
Derek's borderline tearing up our listeners. It is beautiful. And like, that's the thing, is the reason that I know who Drew Brees is because he's such a good guy. And because I've seen the background that goes into him being such a good guy. Like, there are so many football players that are just guys who were good at sports and have abused that.
Yeah.
And use that as a reason to not care about being good in any other area of life. But Drew Brees is definitely one of those people who you want him to do well.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you want him to, like, you want to celebrate him even if you're a fan of his rivals. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
And here's the thing. If Drew Brees had the Super Bowls, we'd be talking about more than one GOAT right now. Everybody talks about Brady because Brady's got all the wins. Drew Brees has only won one Super Bowl. Brady's won 5. So everybody's like, Brady's the GOAT. Brady's the GOAT. Drew Brees actually has more passing yards, more completions, and almost the same number of touchdowns as Tom Brady. So, you know, it's a guy we should be talking about. There's more than one GOAT in the NFL right now, kids.
I love you, Drew.
Yeah.
So in entertainment news, Joker, Brooklyn Subway. I'll make it easy for you.
Are we talking about the DC character, the Joker?
The upcoming movie starring Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, starring Joaquin Phoenix. I know bits and pieces about it, but
no. Do you know what happened in the last couple days?
No.
So extras on the set of the upcoming Joker movie were locked in a city subway car for more than 3 hours during weekend filming in a Brooklyn train station.
No, that's not fun.
And were forced. Oh, it gets better. And were forced to relieve themselves on the tracks. As someone who's been in a movie, I thought you'd particularly like this one, Derek.
But, you know, who isn't doing that in the New York subway?
That's fair. But the extras were filming a scene in an unnamed subway station and were denied their union-required break after 2 hours of work. Things got so bad that the desperate actors started banging on the subway doors, pleading to be let out to no avail. What eventually ended up happening is that they did their business on the tracks in between the cars, which, won't lie, me and my friends in college used to just ride in between the cars just because we thought it was very exciting. Yeah. You're like, oh my God, it's so windy. We might fall and die. Yeah. A complaint was lodged with SAG, with the Screen Actors Guild, and they said they would continue to monitor the situation. Warner Brothers is also conducting its own investigation, but no answers have been given yet as to why these extras were forced to stay on a subway car. And honestly, like,
that's very poor.
Yeah, like, honestly, this is one of those things. First of all, as someone who's worked in, I mean, I've been an extra only a handful of times and always just very randomly. But for someone who's worked in a lot of like production situations, as has Derek, this really bothered me because it's like the whole point of, you have to pay dues, you have to, there's a lot of rigmarole and hoops to jump through to even get to be in SAG. Like, it is, I'm not in SAG for the exact reason that I looked at him and was like, you know what? I don't want to be a famous actress, so this isn't worth it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sit around on a film set for 14 hours in a day.
Oh, it's
brutal. I'm better at talking to people through giant microphones on the radio.
It's brutal.
But like, knowing all that I know about that, it is absurd. And especially, like, I remember my mom actually, Mo, if you're listening, what up? You probably are. But my graduation party from college, we had it at this place that was like overlooks Marina Bay, overlooks Boston. It was beautiful. But it was on the second floor. And my grandfather and one of my dad's work associates at the time were both incapable of walking up and down stairs. So my mom, being the nice lady that she is, offered to ride in the elevator with them when they had to go down. The elevator got stuck and started smoking, to the point where the fire department had to come. And they had to, like, help them all out, like, with it you know, cruxed between two floors. And which, of course, luckily the club gave us a big discount for. But the point being that, like, so my mom, like, she said she was fine. And then she was visiting my siblings in New York City a few weeks later and was on the subway and just panicked. Like, she just suddenly felt trapped again. And for anyone who has even, and my sister has claustrophobia as well. And for anyone who has even, like, the tiniest shred of claustrophobia, I mean, I don't know how many of our listeners have been on the subway in New York, but it's worse in those terms than in Boston. In Boston, a lot of it's open air. Our stations are very large. The stops are very frequent. But in New York, especially if you're on an express train, I mean, you're in that tiny box for 30 minutes sometimes, and it can get, it feels like the walls are closing in, and I'm not a claustrophobic person. And I can't, my heart goes out to these people just thinking about how
I've been on
horrible that must have been, especially if you had to go to the bathroom.
I've been on film sets where nothing is going on.
Like,
for hours
I would have
at a time,
just straight up dropped trow and peed in the middle of the subway car. I would not have cared.
Brutal. Banksy
is awesome.
Yes, he is.
I love him.
I adore Banksy.
I love Wordsmith, too.
Did you hear what he did over the weekend?
No. What did he do?
So
I'm sure it's something awesome.
Sotheby's auctioned off his painting, Girl with Balloon. And no sooner had the gavel fallen than a shredder embedded in the frame of the painting kicked on, and the painting descended through the shredder in the frame.
I love him so much.
The painting had just sold for $1.4 million. And some art experts...
Oh, God, that really hurt my ribs, but it was so worth it.
Some art experts now believe it is worth double.
Of course.
It's Banksy.
I was going to say, well, what's great... That's why I knew what that was, because what's great is... he's so cool. Or Chief, we don't actually know who this person is.
Pretty sure it's a guy.
I think it is too. Just based on, I mean, almost no one is taller than me who is female, and he reaches high places. But
painting is sold, gavel comes down, shredder activates, painting.
But it's brilliant. It's such a brilliant, I mean, a couple years ago we talked about, oh God, I wish I could remember the name of it, but there was a defunct amusement park. I think it was near Chernobyl, or maybe it was
in
Germany.
It was somewhere in Germany or England.
It was somewhere
Defunct land. That he built. Yeah.
It was such a beautiful,
or
like...
Dismaland.
Dismaland. That's what it was. Dismaland. But he's one of those artists that, I mean, don't get me wrong, he obviously... He's found a way to make money from what he does, despite being anonymous and doing things like shredding paintings when they get sold. Oh,
well,
I love him.
The question now that people are asking is, was Sotheby's in on it? Because
I'm sure they weren't.
And they maintain, they swear up and down to know if the...
I'm sure they weren't.
If the artist says, don't touch the frame, we don't touch the frame. But they believe that Banksy was in the room when it was sold to activate it.
Which no one would know, because no one knows what Banksy looks like.
The shredder was battery operated, which means that someone had to put fresh batteries in it at some point recently.
Mm-hmm.
This was a painting that he had given away to someone years ago.
Well, and you
have now turning around and auctioning it. And there's all of these questions surrounding how he pulled this off.
Well, and you have to think about, too... given, maybe I've been watching too much Pretty Little Liars, but you have to think about too, given the fact that we don't know who Banksy is, I do think that Banksy is one person, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't have a bunch of cohorts.
Oh, he's got minions out there.
Absolutely.
You don't pull off Dismaland without a lot of...
That's precisely my point.
And he had a lot
point.
Of artists collaborate with him on that.
But what I love about him is that, exactly, is that he, despite making lots of money off of everything he does, he also just, he's one of those artists that you can tell he wouldn't care if he didn't get paid.
No.
He does this just for the sheer fact that he's like, my mind is awesome and I want to share it with everybody. And what's great is that he actually, so he's inspired a bunch of memes based on doing that. One of which is, I believe it's either the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. But it's a meme that is basically the exact same thing happening, where it's going through a shredder. And I thought it was so poetic and was like, this dude is so dope.
I adore that man. Absolutely adore that man. He is the best artist working today.
Yeah. No why.
There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather. We got genuine stormy weather coming your way, folks. Flash flood watch is in effect here and across much of eastern Massachusetts, southern New Hampshire.
Oh, that's new.
That's going to start at 11 a.m. tomorrow and continue until 2 a.m. Friday morning. As heavy rain rolls in here. Some of this is going to be associated with Hurricane Michael, which is going to be passing by off the coast to the south of us. Not a direct hit, but we're going to get a lot of rain. So tonight, low in the mid-60s. Tomorrow, the thunderstorms roll in, and they will be very, very heavy at times. Highs in
They'll
the mid-70s.
Very thunderstormy.
Lows around 60. Rain continues into Friday. Highs in the low 60s. And then Friday night, lows fall back into the upper 40s. You're going to notice a change in the air. Saturday, cloudy. High just 53 degrees. Lows in the mid-40s on Saturday night. Sunday, heading down to Gillette. Maybe you're heading to Fenway. High is going to be in the mid-50s during the day. Lows around 50 on Sunday night. So
the cool kids are going to Fenway.
Bring a jacket. Now, all the cool kids are going to see the best football game of the year. New England Patriots versus Kansas City Chiefs. Hey, why don't we come back? Ballot questions. We're going to start digging into what is on your ballot this November. And we're also going to be taking a look at things Hillary Clinton says that we really wish she wouldn't. Right after this here on WMFO Medford.
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
Down to Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what, I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player.